Hello, and welcome to the MRBC podcast. Today, we'll be in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, looking at the call of Moses. Let's join Pastor Russ Marin for today's message.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. This is a great passage, and you want to know this passage because this is the call of Moses. This is where Moses was raised in Egypt by Pharaoh's daughter, and at age 40, he killed an Egyptian soldier and then was afraid, and he fled from Egypt into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. Now he's 80, and God comes to him in the burning bush and speaks to him and says, Moses, I'm going to take you back to Egypt, and you're going to lead Israel out. This is going to lead Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, ultimately to the promised land. And it's pretty interesting, at age 80, what Moses' response is. And this applies to our Christian lives because I believe this. I believe it's important that you and I find out what God wants you to do and get it done. Ultimately, we all have something to do. And probably won't be any more of us in here lead any Jewish nation out of Egypt. But there is something he has for us to do. And if we don't get it done, then we are going to miss the main thing God had for us in this life. And we don't want that to happen. The Bible is filled with examples of people that God said, here's a job, get it done. He did it with the disciples. He did it with the apostles. He did it with local church Bible pastors, with deacons. He gave spiritual gifts. People were given the gift of being a teacher, the gift of being a helper, gift of giving, gift of being an administrator. Just right there, I named many people in our church that have those gifts, and God wants you to use them, and there's many more gifts. And the big question is always this. I believe that you and I need a balance. Our church needs a balance. You can't preach on heaven every Sunday. You can't preach on hell every Sunday. And all the other topics, you need a balance. But the question becomes, how much helping, how much serving, how much church attendance, how much giving, all those things should be in each one of our lives. And you want a balance, but all of those things should be in our life. I heard a man say this, and I think there's a lot of truth in this statement. The greatest ability that you and I have is availability. If you and I are available to the cause of Christ, then you are available. It's very important, very valuable. You can have all the ability in the world, but if you're not available, it's of little value. Make sense? So this is the call of Moses. He's 80 years old. God speaks to him out of the burning bush. We're in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. This is God speaking to Moses. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is God speaking to Moses, and at age 80, he said to him, I'm going to take you to Egypt, and we're bringing Israel out. This is a major event in Bible history, a major event in world history. 400 years captive in Egypt, and God said, I hear their cry. I remember my covenant that I had with them, and I'm bringing them out. All right? This major event, you got to understand this to really know your Bible. And Moses, it's interesting, at age 40, he thought he was ready to do it. And he killed the Egyptian soldier, and he was charged up, and then he ran. 40 years later, in the wilderness, as an 80-year-old, he has a different response when God says, come on, Moses, we're going to take him out. Watch what Moses says, and then I want to apply it to our lives. God has something for you and me to do, and you want to be careful you don't use any of these excuses, because Moses is going to give 5 excuses, and you and I don't want to use these. But maybe many of us have already used all of them. Okay? Let's look at verse 11, his first excuse. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said, who am I, God? I don't have the ability to do this, God. And he says that. He says to God, I don't have the ability to do it. But you know what God says in Philippians 4:13, and almost all of you know this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God is going to say to Moses, Moses, I will enable you to do this. I will give you the ability to do it. And here's a principle. If God has a plan for your life, and he does, he will give you the ability to fulfill that plan. Bible's interesting, very interesting. Most great believers are very common people. Moses wasn't a great man, but most great believers are very common people. How many times have you heard preachers say, or other Christian people, great soul winners, they'll say before they become a soul winner, they'll say, I don't have the personality to do it. You know, if you don't have the personality to be a soul winner, and we're commanded to win souls, you ought to change your personality. You know? People say, I can't remember Bible verses. Well, you know, people remember their phone number, they remember their address, they remember all kind of social security number, all kind of things. We ought to remember Bible verses. There's some key ones you ought to get. People say, I'm too old to win souls. No, you're not. You're not too old to win souls. And people say, I don't know how to win souls. You can learn how to win souls. So whatever God's plan for your life and my life, we can fulfill it. We need to fulfill it. Moses just said, who am I? I don't have the ability to do it. But the truth is, he did have. God was going to enable him. Now look at verse 13. It says, as Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So Moses' second excuse was, I don't have a message. I don't know what to tell. What am I going to tell them? And for us today, the message is the Bible message. We have the Bible message. We have the gospel. We have the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told. You know what? Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, virgin born, lived a sinless life, went to Calvary, suffered and bled and died for your and my sin. Our sin was laid on him. He became our substitute, and then they killed him and buried him, and he rose from the dead. No other prophet did that or has ever done it. He rose from the dead. He conquered death, and he went to heaven, and he said, I'm coming back. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back. Amen? That's a pretty good story. That's the message that we have. We have the gospel message. We can talk about heaven. We can talk about hell. Talk about resurrection, crucifixion. We can tell all that. You know what? Half of us in here have made a whole big deal about the Ohio State Buckeyes. We've bragged about them. We've talked about them. We've dressed like them. We carry mugs around. We do all that. We wear hats and coats and jackets and sweatshirts, and we brag on them. We brag on them. We don't have any trouble doing that. So we ought to be able to brag about Jesus Christ, shouldn't we? I mean, our story is our God rose from the dead. No one has done that. No president's ever done it. No NASA scientist. No doctor. No one else has ever raised people from the dead except Jesus Christ. And he rose from the dead never to die again. That's a pretty good story. That's a pretty good message. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We can talk about Ohio State. We ought to be able to talk about Jesus Christ. We can talk about Michigan. We ought to be able to talk about Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we? I mean, really. When I first got saved, I was a little I was very timid, and I don't like to use the word ashamed, but I was afraid to tell people about Christ. But you know, over the years, the more I would learn and the more I would experience and the more prayer things I'd see happen, I got more of a boldness and a willingness to talk about Christ and to share Christ. I've called old college friends, old buddies, things like that. I've called them and asked them and told them about Christ, trying to get them saved. And you reach a point where you shouldn't be ashamed. Shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Moses said, what am I going to tell them? Number three, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So Moses says, they will not believe me. I have no authority. They won't believe me. Who am I? And Matthew 28, the Bible says, God the Father gave God the Son all authority. So Jesus Christ has the authority to give us authority with what we are saying. And I would say this to you, whatever you have, whatever authority, ability you have, if God blesses it, it's enough. It's enough. Whatever I'm preaching on, if God blesses it, it's enough. Let me give you some examples. Remember the small boy that had a couple of fish and some bread, and Jesus was going to feed the thousands? It was enough. What the little boy had was enough to feed thousands of people. Remember when David went to fight Goliath? Goliath was a giant, armor, spear, everything, all the protection. And here came David with five little pebbles, stones, and a sling. And David took that one pebble and put it in a sling. And he started running towards Goliath. And he threw that pebble, and it hit Goliath in the forehead, and it killed him. Dead. It was enough. God blessed us. Do you think God guided that stone? I think it was. Do you think it hit the right place? Do you think God controlled that? I do. I think God blessed, and it was enough. It was enough. Remember when the widow woman was out of money and out of oil, and Elisha filled one of her oil containers with oil, and then another one, and then he said to her, go get some more containers, and she went and got them, and then he filled one, he just kept filling more and more and more, until finally she had a room full, and he said, go out and sell these, and you have enough money to live. So the little oil she had in the beginning was enough, because God blessed what she had through Elisha, and he filled the rest of them. Amen? You see, God blessed it, and it was enough. So the point being, what you tell him, Moses, I'm going to bless, and that'll be all you need. And the same is true for you and me. We don't have to save people. We just have to tell them what we have. Tell them the gospel, and God will bless it, and it'll be enough for them to get saved. They'll get saved. They can get saved. Number four, look at chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So Moses' fourth excuse was, I cannot speak eloquently, articulately. You need to read this. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul. I want to read verse 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5. that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the Apostle Paul is saying the power of God will be on what you say, not on your ability. When I was at Liberty in the seminary, there was a young man there named David Rodenheiser. And David was from Liberty. He was from Lynchburg and from Thomas Road Baptist Church. And he went to college. And while he was in college, he said, he came forward one night and said, God has called me to preach. God's called me to preach. And he went to Jerry Falwell personally. He knew him, and he was from that town, from that church. And he said, Dr. Falwell, God's called me to preach. And there was one obvious problem. David Rodenheiser had a serious speech impediment. And Dr. Falwell tried to kind of guide him, you know, why don't you try to do this? Why don't you try to do this? And, you know, kind of get away from the pulpit. And David said, nope, God called me to preach. And the closer it got to graduation, they kept saying, David, why don't you, you know, find another way? You've got a speech impediment. You're going to have trouble preaching. And you know, before he graduated, that God took that away. Took it away. And ought to bring him here just so you could hear him and hear him give his own testimony. But he has just a hint of a speech impediment today. And he's had it ever since he started preaching. And he says he believes God left it there just enough to always remember where he came from and what God did for him. But he's built a great church, Calvary Bible Baptist Church, just outside of Washington, D.C. I want to say this to you. He didn't speak eloquently, but God called him to the ministry. He surrendered, and then God took away the speech impediment, and God has used him his entire life since then. He's still the same place, still preaching. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who made your mouth, Moses? The answer is, I did. God did. Moses, who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thee with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So God is just saying, Moses, if you go, I'll take care of you. I will provide for you. I will enable you. Amen? Now you got to recognize in all of these, you see, these are excuses that we use not to get involved in church, not to get into the ministry, not to get involved in soul winning, because we use excuses. That's what Moses is doing. Verse 13, number 5. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Well, this is his final excuse. And probably this was the real excuse all along. I don't have any inclination to go, Lord. I really don't want to go. Send somebody else. Okay? I don't want to go. I don't want to teach. I don't want to work. I don't want to serve. I don't want to give. Whatever it is, God's asking you to do something, and his final answer here is, you know what, God? I really don't have any inclination to go. Now, this is worth reading. I want you to see it. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know what, Moses? Get right with God, and he will give you an inclination to go. You know what it means for us? Get right with God, and you'll have an inclination to do something. You don't have an inclination to do anything because you're not right with God. God has a plan for every one of us. A different plan for each person, different talents, different abilities, different situations. But God has a plan for all of us. And if you don't have an inclination to do anything, it's because you're not right with God. And you're going to need God's blessing in all of this. God has something for you to do. Now listen, and it is sin not to do it. It is sin not to do it. So you get saved, and God has a plan for your life, but you manage to get through 10 and 20 and 30 years and never fulfill that plan, you have just missed God's purpose for your life. And it is sin not to get it done. God has called you to accomplishment. Get something done. Christianity is not a spectator sport. We weren't saved to watch. We are saved to serve. Key to the ministry. Find people that you can give a job to, and he will get it done, and you will be successful. If we find enough people in this church to do what they're supposed to do, we'll get it done. We'll have a great church. We'll see a lot of people get saved, and it'll glorify Christ. And listen, life is to glorify Christ. Life isn't necessarily for pleasure. Pleasure's not wrong, but we weren't born for pleasure. We were born to glorify Jesus Christ. So Moses was called to go to Egypt to bring Israel out because God had made a promise to Israel, I'm bringing you out. And he said, I hear your cry. I'm sending Moses. And Moses said, you know what? I'm not inclined to go. But God changed that. Moses became one of the great, great Bible characters of the whole Bible. The Bible says the meekest man in the Bible. God mightily used him, and every excuse that he had was overcome by God.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.